The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "This is the first. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying, he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." No one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord. Our Gospel tonight, during this Lenten season, sets the tone for our retreat this weekend. And we're going to call our retreat the Power of the Holy Spirit and the Steps. So looking at the steps to wholeness, and the power of the Holy Spirit with regard to those steps. And we know that the power of the Holy Spirit is the power of love, which is what our gospel is about, the primary commandment, the reason we were created, why we were created, by whom we were created. We are created by love. God is love. We are created for love, and love will be our fulfillment in heaven. It's the only thing that lasts. Faith and hope don't last in heaven. You don't need faith and hope in heaven. Only on earth, but love lasts. So, however, when we speak of love, we're speaking of something deeper than an emotion. For people in Hollywood, love is purely a feeling, an emotion. Oh, I love her. Oh, isn't she beautiful? Oh, I love her. And so they marry her. Then they don't love her anymore, but they found a new one. Oh, did you see? Oh, I love her. And on it goes, and they're just talking about an attraction. And attractions don't last. You could have Mexican food and lose your attraction. You know, you feel different. So for the Christian, love is something far deeper than an emotion or a feeling. We say that love is a virtue. It exists in not in how you feel. Sometimes you can want to strangle somebody and does not mean that you don't love them. So love is deeper than a feeling. Love exists in your will. And also, we're called to something more profound than a feeling. And actually, in the Church Fathers, and especially in St. Thomas Aquinas, when he talks about charity, this love that we call charity, which is God's awareness, it's the awareness that God has of another person's goodness. But St. Thomas defines charity as the love of friendship. So this love, this Christian love, we call charity, and charity is not romantic love as such, but charity is the love of friendship. So Christians are called to be friends. Love one another as I have loved you. Well, how has he loved us? No one has greater love than to lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends. So it's very unique in the history of the world's religions that a person is called not to be God's slave, as in other religions, but to be God's friends. I don't call you slaves, I call you friends. But as God tries to mature his people out of the Old Testament period into the New Testament period by becoming man, he tries to call us to a deeper relationship with himself, which is a relationship of friendship. So we could look at the human features of friendship, and then we have to apply them to God. So what is friendship? How do you describe friendship? True friendship, not fair weather friends, who like you when things go well and now you're depressed, you lost your job, I'll go find somebody. Hi, how? I don't feel good about you anymore. You're depressed, you're trouble. Divorce you, marry somebody else. Oh, I love her. So we're not talking about fair weather friends. We're talking about true friendship. What is true friendship like? St. Thomas says that true friends, and in my opinion, marriage is friendship. Husbands, love your wives the way Christ loves the church. How did he love the church, his bride? Friendship. He died for her. So friendship, St. Thomas says, is benevolent. Benevolens in Latin. I have to want for you what's good. I want for you what's in your best interests. And I will do whatever I can to bring about your good. I want what's good for you. So if you have women who cook oversized meals for their oversized husbands and get angry if they don't eat it all, that's not love, because that's not good for him. If a man brings home chocolates to his dieting wife, that's not love. It's not good for her. So I want what's best for you. If it's true friendship, therefore true love. Love is beneficent, not just benevolent, beneficent, bene facere in Latin. I have to do whatever I can to bring about your good. It's not a matter of willing it. Oh, keep well, stay good, and I don't do anything to help you. That's not love. So we say in English, we have from experience the expression, actions speak louder than words. Oh, I love you, I love you, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. You don't do anything that manifests that love. They don't really love you. So it's beneficent. You have to do what's good for them. It's mutual. It's not, oh, how's my good friend? You can't stand me. Oh, there's my good friend. How's my good friend? You don't like me. You could care less about having a relationship with me. That's not friendship. It has to be reciprocal. It's a two-way street, love. And as far as God goes, God will never cut off the possibility of friendship between us. No matter how rotten a person is, what ugly things they've done in their life, God never cuts them off. And so when Judas comes to betray Jesus, how does he greet him? You dirty traitor, huh? Look what you did to me. May you rot in hell forever. No, Jesus calls him friend. So God never cuts off the possibility of friendship with himself. Now, you may not want to be a friend with me. Well, that's your business. But as far as being a Christian goes, I never cut off the possibility of there being friendship between us. And then eventually then St. Thomas will say, friendship is like marriage. It's like a marriage. The two people are like one. They have the same desire for each other. They want each other to grow in goodness. They have God's will for each other. Now imagine being loved and having those kinds of friends that have God's interest in you, that have your best interests at heart, whether you want it or not. I've often given the example of Helen Keller. Helen Keller is this poor girl who's blind, she's deaf, and she can't talk. Imagine how dark that is, how desolate that is. You can't see the world, you can't hear it, and you can't communicate with it. What a nightmare that would be. And her fourth handicap, she was a brat. A brat because she had parents who confused pity with love. Oh, the poor thing. Oh, the poor thing. The poor thing. So the poor thing was a brat. She ate with her hands, ate off of your plate. Nobody to say, no. Nobody to discipline her and to train her, but to let her be a monster and think that's love. And so the parents, you know, had other children. They had work to do. So they hired a governess, Annie Sullivan, not too much older than Helen Keller, to come and help out. Well, she thought this girl's a brat because the first time she got there, this little girl locked her in her room, took away the key, ran away. She could hear Annie Sullivan beating on the door. She couldn't hear. She could feel the vibrations. Thrilled, you know. And so when Annie Sullivan got out, she said, I'm not going to put up with this. So first I'm going to teach her how to eat with a fork. She'd sit her down, give her a fork. She'd throw the fork away, put that fork back in her hand, and her parents went nuts. Oh, no. And then Annie Sullivan says to them, you know, anytime she knows you're in the room, she acts out. I need to be alone with her. So to make a long story short, have you ever seen the movie The Miracle Worker with Patty Duke? First time a child won an Academy Award. She teaches her how to eat, how to comb her own hair, how to dress herself. She teaches her how to talk. She taught her these symbols, and she didn't know what she could imitate them, didn't know what they were, and finally one day it dawned on her, water. She grabbed her doll. What is this? This is a doll. She could talk for the first time in her life. She went to college. She wrote books. And then as an older woman, looking back on what Annie Sullivan did for her, she said, "Once I knew the depths where no hope was, and darkness lay on the face of all things. Then love came and set my soul free." Now that's love. Helen Keller didn't like this. Annie Sullivan didn't like it. I don't like this. You don't like it. But in the long run, this is going to benefit both of us. That's love. So there's pain involved in love. It hurt Jesus to love us. He got crucified for it. So love is difficult, but love saves. Love saves soul. The only thing that's going to save the world. Money isn't going to save the world. Science isn't going to save the world. Love. And of course, love is the relationship of the Father for the Son, is a person, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the love of the Father for the Son. The love of the Father for the Son, the love of the Son for the Father is a person, the Holy Spirit. And thus the theme of our retreat, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at the steps that the Holy Spirit is involved in our lives to bring us to that purification where we can love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.